Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. It is our weekly visit with Saints head coach Dennis Allen, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Saints, Dennis Allen with us. And coach, before we kind of get into whatever the weekend was and the schedule ahead, and I know probably officially he is not been signed, but it is out because you had Marquez Valdes-Scantling in for a tryout or a workout, if you will, and it appears that all things have been taken care of. 6'4", 206 pounds. I know that, I think you said you guys had looked at him back in 2022. What does he bring to the roster, and could he be available as early as Sunday?
Yeah, well, look, he brings experience, number one, at playing the receiver position, you know, with Shaheed being out, and then obviously Olave in the concussion protocol. We felt like bringing in somebody with experience was something that we needed at the receiver position. He brings a speed element to the position that we lost with Shaheed, and so we just felt like this could be a potentially good fit for us. I think it really just depends on how fast he gets in, assimilates, you know, into the offense, into the terminology, the things that we're doing offensively as to what his availability will be and how soon that'll be.
Now, Coach Allen, you know, fans ask me, and he goes, Bobby, I know we're dealing with significant injuries, and I tell him, yeah, especially after I have to say on the offensive side of football, but, you know, it's no excuse in the NFL, you know, next man up and all that, but what has been the problem? Because it's been more on the offensive side and not on the defensive side. I know Pete Werner means a lot to the team defensively as far as the sure tackler that he is. But I know you got to be discouraged how we played against the run overall defensively, considering that we have a lot of guys that we're counting on, and they've been available and not necessarily like on the offensive side where we've had the injuries. So how do you address that? Because I think that's been disappointing, because I always thought our defense would kind of have to carry us. You know, you want to play complementary football, but I've been disappointed as of late defensively what we've done the last couple of games.
Yeah, look, Bobby, you're exactly right. I think all of us are disappointed in the way that we played defensively in the last three games. You know, we played three games in 10 days, and we just haven't played – the type of football that we're capable of playing, and so you got a few days to kind of get rested and recovered. We're back at it this week, and look, we're going to be renewed in terms of our resolve to try to get this thing figured out, because it hasn't been acceptable. We all understand that. It starts with me, and we've got to do a better job of playing defense, and yet, you know, I know that we have played good defense. And so it'd be different if I felt like there was at no point in this time in this season where we'd shown that we could play good defense. But, you know, the early part of the season, we did that. And so that gives me confidence to know that, you know, we can get back to playing that type of defense. And that's what we're going to need to do.
You know, Coach Allen, along those lines, playing a top-notch defense. You know, it's a copycat lead, and I can look at Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. They're going to play tonight. Now, it'll be interesting to see, you know, who's available and all that. But you better be able to tackle better, because the Chargers are a top-10 rushing attack. That they're going to run the ball for sure, maybe 35, 40 times if you can't stop the run. So you got to be able to tackle better.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I think that's the type of game that they want to play. So we're going to see it. And we're going to see it until we stop it. And so that's what we're going to have to do in this game coming up. We're going to have to do a better job of, you know, we're going to have to do a better job of striking blocks. We're going to have to do a better job of getting off the blocks. and we're going to have to do a better job of tackling when we get in those positions. And that's, look, that's fundamental football. And so we've identified areas that we have to improve in, and now we got to go out and do it.
So, Coach, I know it's just Monday and the extra time players are off this weekend. I guess, and we'll learn more Wednesday, just tell us the progression, one of Derek Carr, and really Olave as well, which just goes to show that no two concussions are the same. No two protocols are the same, how long a player might stay in or out.
Well, starting with Olave, you know, per the league rules, I really can't discuss that, except for I can say that, look, there's a protocol that you have to go through, and there's certain steps that you have to go through before you're eligible, you know, to return. And so we're in that process. We're taking all of those steps, and we're being diligent about it. And hopefully, you know, he'll be able to get through that process and be able to, you know, to get back to action here pretty soon. So Derek Carr had a throwing session today. He'll have another throwing session tomorrow. I think he's making progress. And so we'll just, you know, all we can do is continue to try to move forward with that and you know, try to get these guys as healthy as we can as soon as we can.
You know, Coach Allen, when I look at, like, Double D, DeMario Davis, I'm like thinking, I don't know, besides Drew Brees, it might be the greatest free agent acquisition in Saints history. And he always hits that century mark around 100 tackles. But I'm looking at every game, and I want to say the game before, maybe the defensive backs were the five top leading tacklers. Now, he was number three in this game against Denver. But, you know, hovering, you know, not necessarily 10 tackles or more. But the question I have for you, I don't know, it just seems like, and it's just life, I mean, football life, not life in general, but football life, that you can get old, I don't know if it's overnight, but maybe year to year. And it just seems like right now, you know, they're being well compensated, but I don't know, like DeMario Davis, you know, the coaches always say better to get rid of organizations. Get rid of a player a year too soon than a year too late. But I look at DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, and even Honey Badger. We all remember him from LSU. He drops an interception. He would maybe take that to the house. But it just seems like players, household names that we've counting on, that we've gotten old overnight defensively, that being specifically in Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis.
Yeah, well, look, I think, Bobby, I think the thing you have to realize, and I know you know this, like, there's 11 guys that are out there on the field on every single play. And so it takes all 11 of those guys to play at a high level. And so I hate to look at anybody in particular and point out, you know, these individuals or anything like that. I think overall, defensively, and as an entire football unit, I think special teams, I think we've been solid special teams-wise. I think that's been an area of strength for us. Offensively and defensively, I don't think we're playing up to our capabilities. And you know, there's a number of factors that go into that. But you know, again, these same players that you talk about, look, we played well earlier in the year. We've hit a three-game stretch. You know, in these last 10 days that we did not play good football. We didn't play good football on offense. We didn't play good football on defense. And we got to get back to playing good football.
Need to take a quick break here. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Back after this. Well, welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. It is our weekly visit with Saints head coach Dennis Allen, and it is brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. And talked a little bit about Rashid Shaheed in that first block, and just as tough to kind of suffer was the Paulson Adebo injury, done for the year. Talk about the impact, how that will impact Alante Taylor, who had, you know, embraced the slot, and will he move some outside unless it's a nickel, and also Kool-Aid McKinstry. Just talk about how you address that loss of Adebo.
Yeah, well, look, it's a tough loss because I think Adebo did some good things for us. You know, he was leading our team in interceptions, made a lot of big plays for us. So it'll be a tough loss, but I think we got some guys that can step up in that role. Alante Taylor will play a little bit more on the outside, along with Kool-Aid. Both those guys will have to play some snaps outside. And look, I think it'd be good in the development of Kool-Aid. He came in, did some nice things in this game. He played really well when he had to play earlier in the year against Dallas when Lattimore was out. So I think we have some capable guys to step in that role.
You know, Coach Allen, talking about having to play more, what's your take, Kendra Miller? I'm looking at like six rushing attempts, a six-yard average, 36 yards. He had a long gain of 16. That can we see maybe more of that to lift the load off Alvin Kamara coming up against the Chargers? I mean, is he ready to roll? Jamal Williams ended up having three carries. He was right at 6 yards a carry also. So just talk about maybe in the future with Kendra Miller getting more involved in, along with Jamal.
Yeah, look, I think certainly Kendra is a guy that we want to get more involved. He's got an explosive element to his game, in particular when you put the ball in his hands. And so that was good to see. I think we all kind of knew that was a quality that he had. That was one of the things that we saw when we drafted him. And so I think for him, it's some of the other things in terms of the protection, in terms of the route definition, those types of things are things where he really has to, to work to improve. But certainly I think, putting the ball in his hands, in terms of the run game, he's got some make-you-miss ability. He's got the ability to run through some tackles. So I'm excited about what I think he can bring in that element.
You know, Coach Allen, fans will come up to me and they say, Bobby, I don't know. It looks like that, I don't know, with our defense sometimes, that there's no sense of urgency and that aggressive attacking mode. And they said, weren't we trying to get better against the run? You can't pay everyone, so we couldn't pay David and Yamada, Shai Tuttle, people leave, so you bring in other new D tackles. But it just seems like up front, I'm looking at Chase Young. Yeah, he can rush the passer. He gets knocked 4 or 5 yards off the ball. That's what I think fans are not impressed with and actually discouraged by, because it seems like even before contact that we're not controlling the line of scrimmage and we're getting knocked 4 or 5 yards off the ball.
Yeah, I definitely think that, our ability to control the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball right now is not where it needs to be. I think that was a strength of ours earlier in the season. It's not a strength of ours right now. So I think we've got to get back to a lot of the fundamentals and technique of playing the D-line position, playing the offensive line position. I think we've got to get back to where we can win the line of scrimmage. And therefore, when you're able to do that, you're able to run the ball more effectively, and you're able to stop the run better.
Coach, how does that look? What does that look like? Because last week it was a short week. I mean, it was basically walkthroughs to transition to what is, the mini bye week and really addressing that problem. What does that look like on the practice field?
Well, we're going to have to do some good things during the individual periods, and in particular up front on both sides of the ball. We've got 25 minutes dedicated basically to individual for the offensive and defensive lines. And I think that needs to get to really working on, pad level, strike, shed, the core principles of playing, defense. And offensively, it's about footwork and pad level, all right? And again, the same thing in terms of the strike ability up front. I mean, those are things that, you can't take for granted in our game. This is not a scheme-oriented, deal in our league all the time. It's gotta come from fundamentals, details, and I think those are areas that we have to improve on.
Now, Coach Allen, you talked about this because it is limited. Even when we talked to Mickey about this, is that tackling drills? Is that something, you look OTAs in minicamp, and I don't know, you could tackle a dummy, but you're not going to take a player down on the field considering, injury factor that comes into play. But just talk about now, since it's been like a mini bye, how have y'all worked maybe more on tackling? I mean, you got to want to tackle. That's the bottom line. First off, you got to want to tackle. And you look, you want to create a turnover and punch the ball out, but you got to tackle the individual first. And that, to me, what was discouraging is that in previous games, how you never want to be around double digits. Like Atlanta, 10 missed tackles. The Chiefs, 13. Tampa Bay, 15. So then you look at Denver. So, and you talked about you got a short week. How can you really practice that? Is it a time and space maybe dedicated also to tackling drills? And then what can you do in this day and age to make the players? Because they know how to tackle. You played high school, college, you know, in the NFL. So how do you promote that? Is it more want to or what as far as tackling and the drills you might implement in practice?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of elements here that are involved. I think number one is the technique of tackling in terms of closing the space, in terms of understanding the angles, in terms of taking away the cutback, all right? And then there's the second element of how do we create more population to the ball? Because, you know, missed tackles do happen in our league, but when you create more and more population to the ball, they don't become as costly because, you know, you have somebody else that's backing you up. And so I think those are a couple areas that we can improve on.
Need to take another break. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. We are back after this. Stay with us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert, and Saints head coach Dennis Allen. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network, our weekly visit with Saints head coach Dennis Allen, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. And so tonight, just like it's been, it feels like this whole season, you're able to watch your next opponent on either Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football. So the Chargers taking on Arizona, and this is probably stings a little bit, but it is what it is. You've played three games in 10 days. They've already had their open week, you know, a week five open week. You know, they've played well. They lost to Kansas City. Just your thoughts about this team, and really, you know, they haven't done a whole lot passing the ball with Herbert, six touchdowns, but he's only got one pick, too, so they don't give it away very much.
No, I think they do a good job of playing the way that they want to play. They want to be able to run the football. They want to be able to protect the football, kind of play a time of possession game. They're playing really well on defense right now. They don't give up very many explosive plays. They get after the quarterback. They play really good run defense. So I think they understand who they are and what they want to be, and I think they're playing good football right now.
When you look at, like, average per carry or amount of rushing net yards, and it just seems like trending in the wrong direction. Is that personnel? I mean, because when you look at it, I mean, our defensive line's been, I don't know, healthy compared to the offensive line. I look at Brian Brzee. He's done some fine things on the pass rush. But I just look up front. I mean, to me, you know, to help the linebackers to run sideline to sideline and make tackles. I know Pete Werner's been out. But it just seems like I go back to that. Is that, and you said we're not controlling the line of scrimmage, but that's the one thing I say out of all the things that have occurred is that I know the defenses that I've watched that you've coached, and I've been discouraged what we've been giving up in the run game as of late.
Yeah, look, there's no question. We've got to play, you know, better run defense, and we got to go back. We got to go back to the basics, you know, and the basics are, man, get in a good stance, come out and strike blocks, control blockers, and be able to shed blockers. And right now, look, I think at all three levels of our defense, we're not doing that the way that we need to do that. And so I think we've got to get back to, and I've said this already, we've got to get back to a lot of the fundamentals, because I think that's where we're not playing as well, you know, over this last three-game stretch as we need to play.
Now, you know, Coach Allen, when you look at, obviously, the trigger man, the quarterback position, Jake Haener, he comes in there. He threw four passes, completed three, but it seems like, okay, I'm going to be a professional. He threw a nice touchdown pass. And whether Derek Carr is available or not, is it maybe, okay, Spencer Rattler, here's another opportunity for you. You're going to have like a mini-bye to get ready to go against the Chargers, and then Jake Haener's kind of in the bullpen? I mean, how do you handle that, considering you just got to try to get production on offense when you start a Derek Carr is out? But could it be a 1-2 maybe punch or combination with Rattler and Haener, just trying to get the offensive quarterback position playing at the highest level?
Well, yeah. Look, I think you're right. I think Jake came in and did some nice things there at the end of the game. I mean, you know, that was a really good job of him getting us into the right check and maxing up the protection to take advantage of the blitz and throwing the touchdown pass down there in the red area. So I was pleased with what we saw there. I think, you know, in particular, when you're talking about a couple of young quarterbacks, you know, both of them need as many reps as they possibly can get to be able to go in there and be effective. So I think it's hard to go in and say, hey, we're gonna play both these guys, and they're gonna get a certain amount of plays or reps or whatever the case may be. Look, I've seen a lot of really good things that Spencer's done. I think we got to do some better things around him. I think his supporting cast needs to help him out a little bit, and I think he needs to, you know, continue to improve. There were some things that, like, just understanding when you're going to be hot, and then don't take a bad play and make a bad play worse. So those are some of the things that you deal with a young quarterback. But then I see him create things with his feet. I see the very first play of the game, we get a boot out to the left-hand side, you know, and we get the edge cut, and he presses the edge and makes a great pass down the field, and we create an explosive play. And so we got to be able to be more consistent, you know, in being able to do those things. And look, the quarterback needs to play better, but I think the players around him need to help him too.
Coach, that's kind of where I was going, because that was the explosive to Foster, I believe. But Juwan Johnson, last three games, has had 14 targets, 11 receptions. And then Morrow, he's had two catches in each of his last three games, but he's also had a long of 32 and a long of 41 in his last two. More by design to get those tight ends more involved?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, obviously the game plan and the things that we've been trying to do offensively, you know, in particular early on in games with Spencer in there at the quarterback position, really, you know, allows for the tight ends to be, you know, more of a factor. I think, you know, obviously when you're out, you're two, you know, starting receivers, you're looking for guys who can make a play for us, who can, you know, create something explosive, whether it be in the run game or the passing game. And so I think we got to continue to look at ways that we can, you know, utilize the tight ends, create some explosive plays. I do think that there's a good chance that we're going to get a few guys back this week, which I think will help the supporting cast around Spencer and give him a little bit better opportunity.
Well, Coach, as we all know, winning can cure a lot of ills. Hopefully it'll start this Sunday in Los Angeles. Best of luck, and we appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. And when we come back, we will speak with Senior Offensive Assistant Rick Dennison. We'll talk about that on the Saints Coaches Show, and we'll be back with more of the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the New Orleans Saints. Well, welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network, and we'll go behind the scenes with this week's Saints Assistant Coach brought to you by Rouse's Markets. Shop Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints, and Rick Dennison, the senior offensive assistant, the most experienced of the Saints assistant coaching staff, joins us. Coach, how are you tonight? Wish it was under better terms, but it is what it is.
It is. I'm doing all right. Just grinding away, trying to find some first downs over here.
Sounds good. Wanted to pick up on something that Dennis kind of closed with without getting too specific, but the ability to get some help back on that interior line from an injury standpoint for guys that have been out. And again, not without specificity, but just the ability to get some of those guys back must be huge.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's just having the experience and the guys we lost or have a lot of snaps under their belt. Now, it helped these young guys to get some snaps, but, you know, moving forward, we need all the experience and you know, especially with some of the defenses that we have coming up.
Now, Coach Dennison, all the years now, 28 seasons in the National Football League, have you ever been in a situation where you're in your fourth starting center and you're not even at the midway point? I'm thinking, like, you know, that's a big concern if you're on to your second center. I would probably guess that you haven't witnessed, like, you're on to your fourth starting center and you're not even at the midway point in the season.
No, I've definitely been two and three, but I don't think I've gotten to four, especially this early. You know, but each position, each year, it's you never know. You never know what's going to happen, so you train as many guys as you can, and you know, hopefully the experience helps as they go through. But just like I said, we're trying to get guys back, and they'll be welcome.
Coach Dennison, would you agree with this that, and you might tell them in the meetings, because I've been in those offensive line meeting rooms, that you're not going to get any glory, you're an offensive lineman. But if they're not talking about you, that means you're doing your job. Remember all the what we did in the offseason, OTAs, minicamp, training camp with Trevor Penning? We don't even talk about Trevor Penning anymore. So I said, I don't know if he's like all pro or not, but he must be doing something right. We're more worried about us stopping the run on our defensive line. So just talk about the development of Trevor Penning, because I know that has to be a good thing because we haven't singled him out as of late.
Yeah, you know, that's anonymity. Is that how you say it? That's important for an offensive lineman. If they're not calling your name, you're not getting penalties, and you're not getting whipped. No, Trevor certainly has progressed. You know, he's still got some steps to go, for sure, but he's settling down. JB does such a great job coaching those guys and, you know, telling them where all their help is, and I think that's where Trevor has really, really grown. He knows you know, where to push a guy, where to lose, because he's got help there, and how to keep out of trouble. So I think that's what he's done very well.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about your kind of relationship with new offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak? I know he was bouncing around about where he might watch the games and from press box or field, and he had spoken about how you have been such a big help with the run game. You're kind of his eyes up in the press box watching things. Just, I guess, how that relationship with Clint has worked out.
Well, you know, this is my third stint with Clint, but I've known him since he was quite young. He and my oldest son were teammates in high school, and actually Little League going up into high school, but you know, he wanted to be closer to the quarterbacks, closer to the players, which I thought was pretty accurate. I think you need to do that if you're calling plays. You got to get a good feel for what's going on. So he just asked me, making sure that you know, check some boxes that he likes to see up there, and Having been with him in a few different places, like I said, it makes it pretty easy. We communicate pretty well, and he tells me what he wants, and I try and help him out as best I can.
Now, Coach Dennison, always a lot of promise. We've had high praise on him, and he looks legit. That being Fuago at left tackle. But would you say, when is that being objective, if you graded maybe his performances in his early career, that he struggled somewhat against the Broncos? Was it maybe the speed off the edge, or what with that? Is that a fair assessment of him, or what was your take on his play against Denver?
Well, it certainly wasn't his best game. And, you know, we're looking for people to keep improving. And you know, Tally's it means a lot to Tally. So he'll regroup and just like the rest of them and get better, take everything, you know, the coaching points to heart and get better at it.
Coach, I'm kind of looking at your just overall experience. You played for the Broncos, coached a lot for the Broncos, but played for the Broncos. And if my math is correct, you were with them in 89, and they go 11-5, win the AFC West. But in 90, and they still got Dan Reeves, still got John Elway, 5-11, and they lose, you know, you lose six straight. That was your final year. And then back to 12-4 in 91, and I guess there's no magic potion here. There's no magic pill, but you've been around. And so these six-game losing streaks, you know, how do you – is it in, you know, fans are tough to one game at a time thing, but it is what it is. And, how do you play your way out of this? And maybe, more importantly, how do you not let it the train go off the rails?
Well, I think it's a positive attitude, you know, and learning from your mistakes. If you try and, you know, just put your head in the sand and just keep beating your head against the wall doing the same thing over and over again, then you'll end up doing the same thing and losing. You know, we're trying to look at things like, yeah, all right, maybe we need to change this up. Not wholesale changes, but how you approach things and make sure that the players understand, you know, we're trying to put them in the best situation. And like I said, keep them positive and understanding that we have good guys. We got good guys coming back, and they're working their tails off to try and get wins. And if we're all in it together, we got a great chance.
You know, Coach Dennison, I guess what goes around comes around. And, you know, the Saints have not had good fortune against Denver in New Orleans. We're only 1-5. I think you might remember that game in 1988 when you were part of that Denver team when we whipped y'all 42-0.
you remember, you know, Bobby, he's a guest on this show.
Yeah. No, John yeah. Elway, the great John Elway. Come on.
No, I remember we had it. That year we had a few that we got beat up. We played on one Halloween night in Indianapolis, and oh, we were beat before we even got off the bus. But no, you're right. I remember that. I remember those days, but I remember some good days. So, you know, just like you said, what comes around, you know, goes around, comes around, whatever the saying is. But, you know, you keep grinding away and trying to learn from your mistakes. I think that's the biggest thing. And I think that's what some of these guys are, you know, they were taking notes today when we were correcting them. And I thought that was awesome that, you know, they're trying to get better at it and know that, you know, we're not playing our best football, but we're going to make strides to play our best football.
You know, Coach Dennison, explain to the fans, because a lot of times, you know, like, oh, we're not blocking for the quarterbacks. Like, for instance, Spencer Rattler got sacked six times. I never got sacked six times in my life. And I can't move like Spencer Rattler, so the ball got to come out. Jake Haener comes in the game, the ball comes out. You score a touchdown. So just talk about maybe the combination, because they say, oh, if the quarterback gets sacked, the offensive line not doing their job. But whether you're a tight end or you're running back, you just talk about protection and the blitz and everybody being on the same page and realize, no, we can't block everyone. The ball has to come out. A lot of times fans don't realize that the quarterback has to know if it's a blitz situation, cover zero, whatever, the ball has to come out. Just elaborate on that a little bit as far as explaining to the fans.
Well, yeah, we're certainly trying to block, and the problem is you don't have a crystal ball and you don't know exactly who's blitzing and what. So we cover our bases the best we can, but they can overload the back, or if we've only got five protecting, they can bring six. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the route combinations don't time up to the quarterback's feet. Somebody gets bumped off or whatever. There's a lot of different things come into play other than the offensive line protecting. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we had a few that didn't go our way. But, again, that's another thing to learn from, you know. And Spencer, for one, will learn. And the line, you know, if they miss somebody, they'll learn from that.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. And for the record, Bobby, we talked about 1988. You won 3 Super Bowls with Denver coaching and playing. So I feel like you did okay. So we appreciate
you. He's a household name in Denver.
Very much so. One game at a time, turning around on Sunday in Los Angeles.
We will try. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Rick Dennison, Senior Offensive Assistant. Bobby, as always, flawless. We will say goodnight to you.
All right, Hoss.
And when we come back, we will talk with Mike Dettillier, talk about the NFC South, Tampa playing tonight against Baltimore, and the Saints' next opponent as well. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, and now we get to have a Bud Light with Mike Dettillier. Drink Bud Light, the official beer of the Saints, as we go back out to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi, where Mike is, and it's the doubleheader Monday. I think this is just going to be the norm now for Monday Night Football. The first game is Baltimore and Tampa, both 4-2. But got there very differently. Baltimore dropped their first 2, 0-2, and Tampa 1 to get to 2-0. But, I mean, you know, nothing matters unless the Saints can win games. But Seattle beat Atlanta yesterday. You hope Baltimore can help you. Until the Saints can get things turned around, you just root against the NFC South.
Yeah, it's easy tonight. Todd Bowles is a really good defensive coach, and one thing I give the Bucs on a quiet rebuild, they've done a nice job. But, boy, did they have their hands full tonight. Because, man, if you're a defensive coordinator and you're thinking about what Lamar Jackson can do as a runner and throwing off the waggle, and now you bring in Derrick Henry. I can't think of another running back this sort of late in the game. Because, okay, with Derek, okay, he's not going to be playing a ton more years. The only guy that had longevity as a what I would call a size speed runner was John Riggins with the old Washington Redskins. Man, John played into his mid-30s. Now, he always had back issues. He always had that. But Derrick Henry brings that power and that speed. And then we're not even talking about the passing game. For the Ravens, which I think has really steadily improved. I don't think their defense is as good as it was a year ago, but it don't have to be, because Derrick Henry sort of sets the tone. And then you got to account for Lamar Jackson, who I think right now, if you had to vote for MVP, he'd win it. A lot of people don't like, he would win it for what he's done early in the season. My thing is, Mike, how the hell they lost to the Raiders? I mean, how do you lose to Las Vegas in game 2 of the season? It goes to show what you see early sometimes. My old friend Joe Clark, who used to live next to me for years, say, Mike is the early season mirage.
Right. And that's back when they were playing a little preseason, as opposed to now when they play virtually none, right? So, and Tampa gets the beneficiary of the schedule makers, the Saints 3 games in 10 days. This is Tampa's 3rd game in 19 days. So that's the first game. The second game will feature the Saints' opponent. It'll be the Chargers in Arizona. That's an ESPN Plus game. Starts about a half an hour later. So let's talk now about next week's opponent, brought to you by John Fayard, Moving and Warehousing First in Service. And so I watched the Chargers beat Denver, and it was more about Denver's kind of poor play than the Chargers' exceptional play. You look at the Chargers' offense, they've kind of just, you know, they've done enough. They've had some explosive plays. They've had 4 20-yard runs, and they've had 3 40-yard runs, whereas the Saints have explosive runs, 1, and that was Spencer Rattler's 28-yarder last week. So that is a trend the Saints cannot continue, giving up those big run explosive plays.
Hey, Mike, did you expect anything else from a Jim Harbaugh coach team?
No.
Okay, when you look at Michigan last year, and I give J.J. McCarthy a lot of credit, in that when they needed him to play big throwing the ball, he did. But I watched a game where he threw the ball five times. They ran the ball 48 times in that game. Okay, Jim's going to try to beat you one way. I dare you to stop the run. I dare you to do it. And I'm going to keep running and keep running. And so for the Saints, okay, this script is not going to be difficult to look at. You know, if you're going up against the L.A. Chargers, what Jim Harbaugh is going to want to do. He has seen film of that the last couple games where teams have gashed you running the ball. You're going to get not a teaspoon. You're going to get a double tablespoon of the Chargers running the football right at you, and he's going to continue to do it until you stop it. Then he's got a guy that can wing it pretty good. That Justin Herbert guy, you know, he's got a nice supporting cast around him where he can throw the football. And their offensive line's sort of a little bit of a work in progress, but it's always been a strength of Harbaugh coach teams. They win up front. He's always talked about building from the inside out. And who was his first-round pick? He goes with Alt, okay, the big tackle. So now they got the bookends, you know. It's just going to wait. He's always sort of done things. I think early on in San Francisco, he had never had a quarterback like Colin Kaepernick. So he had to adjust because Kaepernick, you know, he could spread the field and run on you, and he gave that dimension when he was in his prime as a player. But Jim adjusted to that very, very well, and their defense, they were bad to the bone. That 49er defense back in the old days, man, you better come to play with the linebacking core that they had, and they had Aldon Smith, Patrick Willis, you can kind of – Bowman, you can kind of go on and on. That's what he wants to build in L.A. I think that swarm to the ball carrier defense and play ball control and then hit you over the top for a few big plays.
And that's kind of – maybe this is not the team because of Justin Herbert and this offense, but because the script is the script, and until the Saints stop it, that maybe you're going to have to load that box more than you would probably feel more comfortable doing so with Justin Herbert and the Chargers, just because if you don't, I mean, unless, you know, the script's there, you either got to change it or flip it.
I agree. And the thing with Herbert is to try to affect him throwing the football. I think we've seen in the past that teams that have been successful against him have put people in his face. He hasn't been. But you sit, let him sit back there and throw the ball, he's going to pick you apart. I mean, he really is that type player. But if you get people around him, he don't like people falling at his feet or around him a lot. Not saying he's not a tough guy. He's a tough guy. But I do think that pressure affects his throws. And I can see it, you know, on the film of him. If you don't get pressure on him, yeah, it's game, set, match. Because he knows where to go with the football. And he got a cannon for an arm. I remember him coming to Manning, and you could almost hear the ball coming out of his hand and arm. It's like, whoa, you don't see that a lot. Josh Allen was another one like that you could almost hear it when he threw it.
The Saints couldn't beat Kansas City, but they certainly got a lot of players on their roster with Super Bowl rings from Kansas City, including Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who they picked up today. He won back-to-back, and, man, they need him badly just because of what they don't have with Shaheed out, and we'll have to wait and see about it with Olave.
Yeah, one thing with Scantling, he's big, he's tall, he's fast. He was a body snatcher in college. He's gotten a little better than that, but he's got a tendency to sort of round off routes and a lot of some dropsies from time to time. So he'll catch five or six passes in one game, and he'll drop two or three the next. The inconsistency is why he's bounced from Green Bay to Kansas City to Buffalo and now with the Saints. Just some inconsistent ways. But, Mike, look what he's averaging per catch. 16.9 yards a catch. In the NFL?
That is really impressive. It is. And you are as well. Thank you. Mike DeTellier, Bobby Hebert as well at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. Back-to-back games on the road in different coasts. At the Los Angeles Chargers, then on the East Coast against the Carolina Panthers the following week. My thanks to everybody who helped tonight. We're on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network, including Charlie Long in the booth. We will see you next week with hopefully some better results here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Have a good night, everyone.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.